The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed in the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your hosts, Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here are your hosts, Sean and Flex.
Welcome to another episode of MD Radio, episode number 30. I'm your host, Sean Ray.
And Flex Wheeler.
And we are back as a tandem, Flex, just fresh off the airplane from Atlantic City Pro Championships. I'm having an allergy attack.
So I can hear it in your voice, bro. You all right?
Sound a little... I popped a Sudafed in there, but before we're going to go and recap that Atlantic City Pro, we want to make sure we bring in our resident NPC liaison, Gary Udick, to find out what's going on this week in the NPC. Gary, you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you guys doing?
What's going on, G-Man? What's cracking this month, bro?
Well, we got the Mike Davies, you know, one of the premier trainers in the country. He and his lady, Julie Palmer, put on the Ohio Championships out in Columbus, along with the Great Lakes Championships. That's this Saturday. Prince Fontenot puts on the South Texas Championships down in San Antonio, Texas. And Hans von der Gronden, one of our national-level athletes, puts on the Southwest Michigan Championships out in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah, they're both in the North America Championships. As a matter of fact, Prince Fontenot won his class, didn't he?
He sure did. He looked phenomenal. And then, of course, we've got the Team Universe up in New York, and that's looking to be like it's going to be a great event.
There's a few pro cards at stake. There's also a pro figure going on with the Team Universe. How does that whole thing work up there, Gary? Because I've actually never attended the Team Universe that Steve Weinberger puts on up there.
Yeah, I mean, that contest has been solid, and I think that there's even some talk about maybe moving it to a different venue, but... we'll see how that pans out over the next year because it's a little difficult to get hotels up there, as you well know. And I think that you may be talking about moving that thing sometime in the years to come. But it's always been a great event, and I think we're actually going to be able to send a team over to the World Championships this year. You know, sometimes, depending on what third world country it's in, sometimes they can't do that. But I think they're going to be able to this year, and that just draws some terrific athletes.
How does that work out, Gary? I mean, what do they win their class, and that makes them eligible to go and represent the United States over there, or how does that go?
Yeah, exactly. Our class winners make up our team, and then they head over to the World Championships. The women's, I believe, is usually in Spain, and the men's, I think, this year was in Qatar, might be in Bahrain. But I think we're going to be able to send a team, which is kind of a cool thing because it's lousy when it's somewhere that is unsafe, and we can't send the guys over there.
Yeah, a couple guys that have won that show, Skip LaCour's won that, and same with Chris Faldo, a former teenage national champion's won that. But with the pro figure going on, there's going to be three more pro cards, or I should say three more pro qualifications for the ladies there in New York if they're not already qualified for the Ms. Olympia Championships to go to Las Vegas and compete in that contest as well, correct?
Absolutely, and so you know the girls are going to be at their best this weekend. They're dying to get those last qualifications for the O.
Well, right on, Gary. We got a long show today. It is called The Bridesmaids. We got 14 years of guys that have taken second place in the Mr. Olympia and did not take home the Sandow Trophy. So thanks for calling in and give us the NPC update. We'll see you 2 weeks in Las Vegas.
You bet. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bro.
Pittsburgh's own Gary Udick. And moving right along, Flex, I told you I just got back from Atlantic City. We have a judge on the line that was there, a former national champion and a universe champion, which is very rare these days. I don't even think we have that anymore, winning the nationals and going to the universe. But John Natyshek, John, are you on the line?
John, how you doing, buddy? How are you?
What's going on, John? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Flex? How you doing, man?
Good, bro. How's everything going with you?
Everything is good, man. Looking forward to Vegas with you guys.
Well, you didn't have a long ways to go from the Atlantic City Pro, John. That's your hometown. Well, it's not your hometown, but New Jersey is where you're from.
Correct.
Getting right to the meat and potatoes, Gustavo Vidal, he seemed to have turned the corner and slightly gotten back to the old Gustavo Vidal. Some people arguably have said that that's not the best Gustavo, but his best was good enough to beat an all-time best in Troy Alves and, of course, in Melvin Anthony, who was off, and Hita Tada, who was knocking on the door. How did you see that as your individual perspective? Because not all the scores, some highs are thrown out, some lows are thrown out. You might have seen it differently than the majority, but were you in agreement with it?
You know what? The first round, I had Troy up there in the top spot, and then in the as the night went on, I had Bedell in the top spot because his body stayed and Troy kind of faded, and Melvin really was off. I mean, you know, I know he was upset and unhappy with his placing, and I feel for the guy, but you know, from the back, he just kind of went away. And I hate to say it, but that's what hurt him. And Gustavo stayed. He was consistent. He fought the entire day and night, and his body stayed, and he deserved the win.
What about Hita Tada coming in second place?
And again, surprise second place in my opinion. The guy's great from the front, from the back. His glutes and his hamstrings were, in my opinion, he was off. He was soft.
And John, didn't it seem to be the case with Troy and Melvin that arguably all three of them are kind of soft from the hands and glutes, except that Hita had calves, Melvin and Troy did not?
Of course, exactly. And you know what? We all know as pro judges, the shows basically in these days are won from the back. Everybody looks good from the front. Everybody looks good. Whoever looks great from the back is the person that wins the show. And Hita Tada looked good from the front, and from the back he was okay. I wasn't super impressed with his rear shots, but you know, he garnered second place, and that was the bottom line.
Right.
What do you think about the 202-pound category where James Sletz Lewis came from Tennessee to capture that his second pro win?
Very, very, very close show between Jose Raymond and Flex Lewis, and I am very excited to see what's going to happen at the Olympia in a couple of weeks. As the 202s go up there with, you know, David Henry and Kevin English. Not only that 202 class, but the Open is just going to be unbelievable for the first time in probably my memory, 5 or 6 years, where any of the top six guys have a shot at winning. There's no perennial favorite.
Yeah, you're right about that, bro. It was definitely hot out there. I mean, that 202 class is really becoming a showstopper, isn't it?
I love the 202 class. A, you know, it gives these smaller guys a shot at being celebrities and famous bodybuilders. B, it gives them a shot at making a living at bodybuilding. And it gives them, you know, C, a shot at a title. I mean, it's great. I think I wish it was there in my day, you know, in Sean's day.
Really?
He probably could have been there. You know?
Yeah, well, it seems like, John, it's one of those things where if this was created out of necessity, we had a large contingency of athletes with great, promising futures that were sitting on the sidelines waiting for something like this to happen, and now we're actually seeing some of the fruits of the labor. These guys are jumping in there and they're mixing it up.
Sure, you had great, great physiques at, you know, 200 pounds, who couldn't compete with the guys that were 230 or 240 pounds. Now you have a class that cuts off at 202 pounds, where it gives all of these guys, you have 20, 30 competitors all in that weight class who can compete against each other and really, really, really have a shot at winning a title.
Yeah,
so it gives these guys the opportunity to win.
Exactly. What did you think about? I mean, it's hard when you get into the fitness. It seemed like Tracy Greenwood, she dominated the fitness. It was almost arguably it had to be probably unanimous across the board. But when we get into that pro figure, we had a new girl. It seemed Larissa, her last name slipping my mind, from Brazil. She took out several named girls that were in that competition. How do you look at that? The figure.
I got to tell you, I've been judging for over 10 years. To me personally, I have the most difficult time judging fitness because, A, the girls all look spectacular. B, their routines are all wonderful, great. They put so much time in. It's a really, really difficult class to score and judge.
Right. Well, you know what? Tracy, you make it look easy sitting there.
You know, she's always on top. She's a hard worker. She puts her time in. She trains super hard. And not only does she have great routines, but her body really fits the bill. And in my opinion, that's why she always comes out on top.
Right on, John. Well, thanks for calling in from the Atlantic City Pro. I know you're probably as beat as I am. I had to fly all the way back to California, but we'll see you in 2 weeks.
That's right,
I'll
bro.
Be
2 weeks
we'll
in Vegas,
again.
Man. All right, brother. Big John Natyshack, an IFBB judge, former national and universe champion, Flex. He was there when Mike Ashley was competing at the Nationals and Gary Stridham and those guys. Still keeping himself pretty well shaped.
Those were the days, bro. Imagine that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to wonder. If the 202 class was in existence, how would that have changed? I mean, what was Franco? What was his weight back in those days?
Franco couldn't have been 180 pounds dripping wet.
He's
only 5'3", Flex. I mean, he's small, 5'3", maybe 5'4".
Yeah, but you think about it. I mean, that guy literally took out everybody 1 year at the Olympia. You know, I mean, do you think anybody would have been able to handle him back then?
Well, let's keep it in perspective now. The quality and the quantity of guys competing today is much greater than back then. I mean,
right.
You had Franco and Robinson and Ed Corney. You had a handful of select guys that were in that 200-pound range.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Zane, who won it three times, was 179 pounds 1 year
yeah.
that he won the Mr. Olympia.
Wow.
So it's totally changed. I mean, 179 pounds, 190 pounds on the pro stage today in the open category, I mean, where do you wind up? You look like Ken Jones up there.
Oh, wow.
I think Ken Jones. Well, anyways. But that said, Flex, it was a long weekend. The Atlantic City Pro Show did answer a few things. A, Gustavo still has gas in the tank. He drops another 5 or 6 pounds, controls his midsection, tightens up a little bit more under your boy Chad Nichols. He could actually get thrown right back into the mix. Definitely he could climb right back into the top 10, which would then make things very interesting for Melvin Anthony, who was sixth, who is now in his rearview mirror, and also Silvio Samuel, who was seventh, because this year's Olympia has Kai Green, Branch Warren, and Victor Martinez, all of which were not there a year ago.
It's going to be very interesting. But you know what I mean? That's the great thing about this particular show, man. It is not given that any one guy will win. And even in a 202, it makes it real hot, unlike previous years, you know, the Dorian and Ronnie Coleman years, where people kind of thought that the winner was going to win again. It makes it great.
Well, at the end of the day, it's who shows up in shape. They all potentially, I think there's 5 or 6 guys that potentially can win this title this year. It seems like you're still leaning with the champ, which
yep.
is, you know, arguably a safe move, being that he's the defending champ. But I think there's a very fast-charging Phil Heath and an even more interesting X-Factor in the form of Kai Green.
I agree.
We're going to come back after this commercial break and talk to a few guys that have been there before, the Hall of Famer Lee Labrada from Labrada Nutrition, and later on in our show we'll have Rich Gasparri and Kevin Lebroni as well with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler here with MD Radio.
Now I'm in the limelight.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
For mind-blowing energy coupled with muscle-building nutrients and essential amino acids, NO Shotgun, the world's most effective pre-workout supplement, will help you pack on slabs of lean muscle tissue faster than a speeding bullet. In a recent university study, NO Shotgun was discovered and compared to placebo to produce 181% greater lean body mass and over 1,000% increase in bench press strength. NO Shotgun is the first supplement proven to elevate muscle gene factors needed for growth. Also, VPX offers the best workout supplement, the superlative NO Synthesize. Scientifically formulated to further drive your muscles' anabolic processes after you are done training. NO Synthesize takes nutrient timing to another level. For more information, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com. Do you want cutting-edge products that are scientifically formulated and tested in the best laboratories in the world? VPX Sports, founded by supplement guru Jack Owok, renowned for creating the most effective and innovative supplement formulations in the industry today. Where other companies fall short, VPX has excelled by bringing the latest scientific information into the research and development laboratories at VPX and translated into products that are used by fitness enthusiasts and recreational bodybuilders all the way to the highest levels of professional athletics. VPX pushes the envelope, redefines superlative products, and delivers on its promise to produce the highest grade sports nutrition supplements in existence. For more information, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com. The next generation mass gainer that's infused with 12 key NO shotgun ingredients that have been proven to ignite muscle growth by increasing muscle DNA by 149% and increase bench press 1,108% and leg press by 55%. VPX's stealth is the superior muscle mass builder that is perfect to lay down slabs of mind-blowing mass. In the old school days, the weight gainer with the most calories won the mass war, but made people look and feel like trash. VPX stealth has changed the rules of rapid muscular weight gain by adding the world's most powerful nutrient partitioning agents. Agents so powerful that they were proven to alter muscle gene proteins with just 1 ounce of NO shotgun per day. If just 1 ounce of NO shotgun a day increased lean muscle mass by 5.5 pounds, imagine what 10 ounces of stealth can do. For more information, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com. If you're looking for the no-bull supplements, Zero Limits is the brand for you. Zero Limits products represent the hierarchy of bodybuilding supplements. Zero Limits is for those who dare to force their bodies through the torturous acts of physical challenge and display a whatever-it-takes-to-win attitude. Zero Limits goes beyond the mundane pack of Me Too products with the development of a real breakthrough and innovation to take muscle building further than it has ever gone before. Zero Limits has revolutionized testosterone enhancements with Nova Test. Experience unprecedented 10,000% increases in testosterone and watch your strength and muscle gains go through the roof. NovaTest is in a class of its own for a select group of athletes who live by the Zero Limits philosophy of never setting limits on themselves. NovaTest. Fast, powerful, potent elevations in testosterone. NovaTest from Zero Limits. Order NovaTest at www.getxl.com because large isn't big enough. Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
Welcome back to MD Radio with your host Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler. And we have a special guest coming up, two-time runner-up, 89 and 90. You guys should know who that is by now. The great, great Lila Broad and Master Class. Sean.
I'm here.
Well...
He was great. He is in the Hall of Fame, and he's only about 5'4" and 190 pounds, dripping wet, former national champion. I caught up with him because he was traveling today. Here's what Lee Labrada from Labrada Nutrition had to say about our interview. Being a bridesmaid.
Hey, Lee, welcome to MD Radio, brother.
Hey, Sean, great to be here. And I take it that happy birthday is due.
Yeah, I'm getting closer to you, actually.
I'm still a little bit ahead of you, my friend, but that's okay. We wear it well, as you say, right?
Yeah, the inspiring thing is I have you as my role model, even still, how long has it been since you were last on a pro bodybuilding stage?
That would have been 1995, so I was 35 years old at the time.
Yeah, and I was just warming up my jets around 95. I came in second in the Olympia in 94. But this show was titled The Bridesmaids, and if you didn't know, between yourself, Flex Wheeler, Kevin Lavroni, Richie Gasparri, and me, we've all had 14 shots at that first runner-up medallion.
Okay, now, Sean, I got to ask you, though, how you came up with that name, Bridesmaid, because I would have thought you would have at least said groomsman, because the idea of walking down the aisle with Lee Haney just doesn't sit right.
Well, okay, the groomsman, but I think people can identify with, you know, all being a bride and then being the bridesmaid. I mean, we are the ones that were so close yet so far, and Lee, what you've done with your career is nothing short of amazing, but I want to get a little perspective. 1989, you were second place in Rimini, Italy. I was sitting in the audience as you and all the guys were battling it out, Vince Taylor and Lee Haney. You were oh so close, and again in 1990, the first ever drug-tested contest, you knocked me down to third place. You pushed Lee Haney all the way to his maximum. A lot of people actually thought you could have arguably won that contest.
Well, and I would add, Sean, that was the only drug-tested Mr. Olympia ever.
Thank you for clarifying that up. I'm glad to be a participant in that.
That's right. That's
but getting
right.
back to the historical perspective, you were born March 8, 1960 in Havana, Cuba.
That's right.
You earned your pro card, I believe it was at the Nationals in 1985 as a middleweight.
That is correct. You are a bodybuilding historian.
I pride myself on this. It's easy when you take a few notes. You did go on to win not only the national championship, but the Mr. Universe, which is rare these days. Back in your time, guys were competing in the Nationals and going on and winning the Universe, like Mike Christian and some of the other national champions.
That's right, and that was the typical route to a pro card in the day.
Yeah, you had to literally be the best in the world, not just best in the nation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But you did get your first, I think you got your feet wet in 1982 was your first show?
1982 was my first show in Texas. My very first show was a AAU show in Jacksonville, Florida, a teen Jacksonville show, but my first true open show was in 1982 here in Texas.
And I believe you pretty much made your bones, Lee, as a middleweight, which is what, a maximum of 176 pounds?
That's exactly right. And I was a middleweight all the way through the Mr. Universe, and then only when I entered the pro ranks in 1986 did I allow my weight to start going up somewhat.
Let me toot your horn a little bit. 1986, you did get your feet wet. You won the Night of Champions in 1986. You went on to win several Grand Prix. Back then, they had a lot of shows following the Mr. Olympia competition. You and Gasparri, out of all the guys, along with Flex and Lavroni, but you were consistency, you know, to the nines, man. I mean, you won the United Champions in '86. You went on in 1988. You won the Greek Pro Grand Prix, the British Grand Prix, the Spanish Grand Prix. Then later on, you went on to win in 1989 the Dutch Grand Prix, the Finnish Grand Prix. I mean, it seems like you were just on a tear on those Grand Prix shows, but you couldn't win the big one. And
well, I kept bumping my head on the ceiling called Lee Haney. But you know, arguably, Sean, I think you might agree with me. Arguably, the best bodybuilder of the '80s. You know, certainly tip my hat to him. But I came very close in 1990, and I was actually ahead of him after prejudging in '90.
Right.
And incidentally, I felt that show actually might have gone to me with you in second place. No offense.
Yeah. No. I mean, I heard that throughout the weekend. Was 1990 a little bit more bitter to swallow because you knew that as compared to 1989 in Rimini, where you really served notice?
I thought that Lee, being a great competitor, was very consistent in his showings. But in 1990, he really seemed off, and I felt that it was a good time for me, you know, to strike. And you know, personally, I felt that I bested him, but the judges did not agree with that.
How much did you weigh in 1990, Lee?
I would have been about 190 pounds at that time.
So you probably were within 5 pounds of what you were regularly competing at, whereas Lee Haney, I believe, was almost 20 pounds down in weight.
Yeah, I always competed between 187 and 195 pounds. You know, so I was right there in the middle of my range.
Do you feel on some level that you might have been coming up kind of like myself, maybe in the wrong time, or was that the right time for you to strike? Because you won everything else. But
you know, Sean, in hindsight, it was a wonderful time for us to be bodybuilders, because the whole mass thing had not become the runaway train that it is today. And at that time, there was still some semblance of balance between the mass and the cuts and the symmetry and the like, which you rarely see these days. It just seems to have gone to the extreme of mass. So, no, I think that the timing was appropriate. I just think that Haney and then followed by Yates were the bearers of things to come, you know, which is to say the massive bodybuilders of today.
Right. Did you see that coming to fruition in 1991 in my Orlando, Florida, when Dorian Yates came over from
Yes, I think that pretty much sealed it. I think in 90 they sent the message that was the direction they wanted it to go in. You know, had I won, bodybuilding might have taken a step in a different direction, you know, and at that point it might have been, you know, become a sport that had more emphasis perhaps on symmetry and proportion and the like. But I think that, and especially with Yates winning in 91, I think it pretty much sealed the fate of the direction of the sport, you know, that being towards the massive physiques that you see today.
Right. It seems like at that time you might have put on the business cap and started making some moves. I mean, you're one of the guys that actually walked away from Weider for what seemed to be maybe even greener pastures while you were still on the pro stage. How was that connection?
Well, and with all respect to Joe, because of the tremendous opportunity that he has given all of us, and you know, between he and Ben, arguably having really established modern bodybuilding for what it is, you know. But we were always very good friends, and we just parted ways in a business sense when I went into the relationship with Metrics in 1992. It was just a much more lucrative deal, and in retrospect, it was the right deal.
Well, you were one of the few pros, along with Lee Haney, that were able to keep it together on the marriage front. I believe, did you get married in 1985?
I got married in 1986, actually. So we're coming up on 23 years.
23 years, three boys later. How old are your boys?
The oldest one is 17, and is a running back at high school, being recruited by six top national colleges.
Wow.
The middle boy is 13, and the youngest is 10. All very active, very bright boys.
I can't imagine that they're six-footers. I mean, your wife is pretty tall, relatively speaking to you and I. Is football where you want him to go? Is that something that you...
Yes, he really enjoys it. They really all enjoy it, actually. And, it's a great sport. It really is. And so is bodybuilding. You know, the oldest, really incorporates, a lot of bodybuilding into his routine. And, you know, at 17, he's 5'9", 205 pounds.
Wow.
And, has put on, over the last 2 years, he's put on 50 pounds, if you can believe that. You know, so, it's just a tribute to the tool, the tremendous tool that bodybuilding is for athletes.
Well, what you told me was it's pretty cool working out with your son, and, he's kind of able to, you're able to give some of that wisdom and knowledge that you learned through the supplement industry with Labrada Nutrition.
As much as they will listen to, Sean. Because, having kids that they don't always listen. But, you know, all joking aside, it's very gratifying to get into the gym and work out with my sons. And I'll tell you, it's a very humbling experience. And, when they do actually end up passing you on the training poundages.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, if you need any help with any girls, let me know. Let me ask you the meat and potatoes of it all. 1989, you're in Rimini, Italy. You get second place, the best finish that you've ever had. You had to be motivated with the drug test coming in 1990. You get second place again. What do you do on those two occasions? Because this is the bridesmaid. I want to know where you were mentally.
Well, that's a very good question. I wouldn't expect anything less from you, Sean, because you're a thinker. You know, I got to be honest with you. You know, and after the 1990 show, I was very dejected. You know, I felt that at that point that I had reached the pinnacle, and that the judges were sending a message that no matter how good I got, I was not going to get the nod. You know, because of the size of my frame. You know, I'm 5'6" and 190 pounds. You know, they were looking for a super giant, and so I just resigned myself to the fact that in order for me to continue enjoying the sport, I was going to have to do it on a personal level to see how much improvement I could make from year to year. So it basically turned from an outward type of experience to an inward experience where I was just competing against myself and then, you know, presenting myself as best as I could to see how much I could improve from year to year.
Well, Lee, you went on to become an author. You wrote a couple books, The Lean Body Promise, Burn Fat Away, I guess it is, and Stronger Body Inside. What are you working on now, and how's life treating you?
Well, I'm working day-to-day in Labrada Nutrition, and life is great. I feel very, very blessed. God has given us a lot of opportunities to help people. And, you know, nowadays what I do is dedicate myself to helping others get into the best shape that they can. You know, whether they're bodybuilders or from any other walk of life, if they want to improve their physique and their health, that's what we're here for.
Well, Lee, congratulations on your Hall of Fame induction in 2004. Congrats on Labrada Nutrition and staying in the game and giving back a little bit of what you took from the sport.
Well, thank you, Sean. I really appreciate that.
All right. One of the Hall of Famers, Lee Labrada, calling in all the way from Texas. Congratulations and best wishes.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Well, Flex, that's one of the Hall of Famers, man. One of the little mighty mites. You there? All right. Well, that was Lee Labrada.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, there you are.
Oh, okay, I had it on mute because I kept laughing. That was a great interview. You know, what I was going to say is would be really interesting is to actually get him on a radio show later on. I mean, a guy has such insight and one of the few guys we hardly ever get to hear from.
Well, bring in the next guest. He's interesting.
Really? Who's that? That must be that Rich Kaspari guy.
The Dragon Slayer.
The Dragon Slayer. Dragon Slayer. Three times he's challenging me. We're both tied for the record of having the three most second place victories, Rich Kaspari in 1986, 1987, and 1988, placed again second behind the great Lee Haney, had to do battle with him as Lee Labrada did just a while ago. But Rich has moved on to some bigger and better things with his businesses, Kaspari Nutrition, also the sponsor to our show today, our radio show, and the coverage of the Atlantic show last weekend. Rich Kaspari, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
What's going on there, buddy?
Big Rich, the Dragon Slayer. Hey, man, you called at the right time because we're going to take a commercial break and we're going to come back and find out what it's like to take second place three times to totally awesome Lee Haney. We'll be right back after this commercial break here on MD Radio.
Salt and pepper and heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of mitotropin.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell-swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
Welcome back to MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler. And we have the Dragon Slayer, Rich Itz, and many of names that Lee Haney have gave to you, but very well known as the Hall of Famer and now the current owner and CEO of Gaspari Nutrition, Rich Gaspari.
How you doing, guys?
Well, our show is titled The Bridesmaid. Lebrada took offense. It should have been The Bride's Grooms. but I think we all are familiar with that. You got second three times. Flex, sometime later on, got second three times. I mean, I don't know what that's like. I can imagine it's probably worse for Kevin Lavrone, who got second four times, and even maybe Jay Cutler, who got second four times. Flex, those two are those guys are the ones that probably feel the pain the most. How was it for you, Rich? Because you were relatively young in 86.
Well, first, I mean, for me, it was amazing, where I got in bodybuilding at the time, because you said I was relatively young, and I was a very confident kid when I turned pro. And going into my first pro show, I came in second in the Night of the Champions and then third on my first try in the Mr. Olympia, and then feeling that, I got third, I could win the Mr. Olympia, and then my first try... my second try in the Mr. Olympia, I got second place. So I thought for sure I went from third to second. 87 was my year I was going to win. And it didn't happen, of course, because, you had Lee Haney there who defeated me, in which I tried to, in 87, try to beat him at his own game, and I came in a little too big. The critics said I looked a little more blocky.
How heavy were you?
I went into that show over 222, 223. At that time was big for those standards at 5'8". What happened was is the critics said I looked blocky, and if I looked like that, I wasn't going to place as high. And so I streamlined for 88, totally changed the way my physique looked, had my waist come smaller, but then again couldn't beat Lee Haney and came in second again. So... It was upsetting at my third try because there was a lot of people saying that I could have won, but I give my hats off to Lee Haney. Like I said, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, bodybuilder of all time.
You know what, Lee? A lot of people may not know it, but you and Lee Haney actually trained together a couple of times, or didn't you actually go up to his house or something like that?
What happened was when I moved out to California, I just won the June. I went into the Nationals. I came in fifth place on my first try.
Heavyweights.
And I moved to California. And Lee Haney, I was working at this Gold's Gym in the Valley. And Lee Haney watched me train, and he was really impressed on how intense I was training. So he asked me, hey, would you like to train with me? I was getting ready for the Nationals and the Mr. Universe. He was getting ready for his first Mr. Olympia. His first Mr. Olympia that he won in 84. So that year was a great year for me because I won the Nationals. The week later, went into the Universe because back then you had to win Mr. Universe to turn pro.
Right.
Won that, and that's how I kind of got to train with Lee Haney. I mean, he just, like I said, he watched me in the gym and he said, Rich, you got to train with me.
Well,
and that's how we hit it off and made friends.
Sometimes it's good to be that close to the competition. I know I drew a lot off of training with Flex Wheeler back in the day. You can see some of the aspects he's very strong in and some that he's very weak in. So what did you see in Lee Haney's armor that might be his weak link that maybe on a certain day at a certain Olympia you might be able to sneak by him? Because you guys, like me, Flex, and Dorian, were like apples and oranges. How were you going to beat this guy?
Well, I thought I had to beat him in coming in hard. I was known for being really ripped, and I felt that I could come in harder than him. I also felt that Lee's legs were, if you wanted to pick apart Lee, the weakest part was probably his legs. And I was known for having, good legs. So if I had that over him and had more conditioning than him and a better presentation, maybe I could beat him if he was off a little bit. I had a good chance. So I knew that I had to be the best that I could ever be training up into the Mr. Olympia. And, feeling if this guy, slightly off, I could beat him.
Really? So, at the end of it, at the end of everything, and looking back on it, interesting, Sean said, maybe it was actually harder to, place three times second. What are your feelings after the fact? Because I know mine, placing three times second, it's actually an honor. And, when you're, for me, in the middle of the battle, it was first place and it was last. But now that I'm retired and well removed from that and don't look anything like I ever walked on stage, I'm actually honored to be able to, you know, be known as one of the guys who placed second three times. Where are you at right now with that?
I feel the same way. I mean, I am honored that I did, you know, compete in the Mr. Olympian. You know, coming in second place 3 years in a row is still a great, you know, a thing to be able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard you talking earlier with Labrada, and, you know, I won a lot of Grand Prix. So I had great battles. Actually, in 88, it was me and Lee Labrada, and I actually won four out of him winning three. And there was a lot of stuff that I did, winning the first Arnold Classic. So I was still very happy with what I did in my career, and, you know, I wasn't at all, you know, not happy that I didn't get to win Mr. Olympia. I felt that I still made my mark in bodybuilding.
Do you think that you're able to, you think you're able to process that a little better now, Rich? Because I know you're a very intense bodybuilder. You're like a Frank Zane, like the chemist, man. I mean, you probably knew exactly how many grams and carbs and calories. And I mean, you brought some detail to the game that hadn't existed, some vascularity, I think, that a lot of us had never seen at that time. You don't strike me as the kind of guy that says, well, I got second, I'm cool with that. Did you have a chip on your shoulder a little bit during the competitive years?
Well, you're right about me. I was a very intense bodybuilder. I mean, Lee Haney said I was very intense. Winning was the most important thing to me. When I was younger, I mean, like you said, I was very meticulous, measuring carbs, proteins, fats, you know, always recording how my training went, you know, how I slept. I would do everything on a log. And then, you know, not winning, of course, I was upset. And as, you know, Flex was saying, when you're removed from it, you start looking back and say, wow, you know what? I did something pretty cool. I mean, I did bust my ass in those days in competing, and I put everything I could into it to be the best that I can be. And, you know, what I feel bodybuilding was a huge asset for me. I mean, and I always tell people, bodybuilding is a huge asset in life. If you can use what you do in bodybuilding, I mean, pushing your body to physical limitations to be the best that you can be, you can do anything in life. And that's why I feel I've been more successful in business, using those assets of what bodybuilding gave to me.
Right. Now, you know, you're mentioning, earlier, Lee Labrada was mentioning that, you know, it's nice for him to give back in ways of his businesses and helping guys get on shape. I mean, your guy just won a 202 class and does exceptionally well, some of your athletes. How do you feel about that, and what's your outlook on what you can give back to the sport?
Well, I talked to Sean earlier. We did an interview, and I said that bodybuilding is still my roots. So, you know, my company sponsors like 86 shows throughout the country. Plus, we do shows overseas and IFBB shows and NPC shows. I feel that's really important part of me, you know, being like giving back to the sport because it's just part of me. And now be involved with different athletes. Flex is, everyone's got a different personality. Flex is a great guy. He really reminds me of myself. He's just a hardworking kid. He goes out there, you know, with tenacity to win. And, you know, winning, I was really proud of him that he won the 202 class. We just signed Hidetada Yamaguchi.
Congratulations
and
on that.
We just signed him. He came second in the pro show in Atlantic City. So that was also great to see him do that. And he seems like, you know, just knowing him shortly, he's a very humble guy, great guy to know. Mark Alvisi, the same thing, you know, watching him come up through the ranks and then finally winning. You know, it's almost like me being back on stage watching these guys do what they do. I give them some advice, you know, on some of the tips that I have. I mean, these guys do a lot of stuff on their own. But little tips, I mean, even the tips I give to Flex and just posing properly on stage and making himself look better in his presentation actually helps him out a lot.
Well, real quick, Rich, the boards are ablaze with some controversy, you being an IFBB judge and sponsoring some of the athletes. Clarify for us a little bit of how this whole thing works, because I'm not sure you were sitting in front of me. I don't know when you were judging or what you were judging, because you had the pro figure, the pro fitness, you had the men bodybuilding. How does it work? I mean, because I know they throw out several highs and several lows, and then they take the averages, and even if you weren't on the judging panel, it seemed to me that unanimously Hidetada,
well,
based on the scoring, was going to
be. Yeah, I mean, it is a little upsetting. You know, I judge it for another reason, to give back, and, you know, and then you have your athletes being in the show. I got to tell you, I'm more critical of guys that work for me, I mean, than you would believe. Like, I didn't place, you know, Hedy as high. I didn't judge Hedia, actually, but, you know, even in judging, you know, Flex, it was very, very critical. And when I do judge, I go in a judge mode. You know, people are going to say stuff. I felt, you know, Flex really deserved to win. And as you said, they get rid of the two highs and the two lows.
Right.
So if there's an anomaly in the judging, they get rid of those scores anyways.
Well, thank you for clearing that up, Rich. We've got one more bridegroom on hold in the form of Kevin Veroni. But what you're doing for the sport is nothing short of amazing. I know we at Team MD appreciate your online support, these athletes that you're giving opportunities to do what you lived back in the day. They appreciate it, and your fans, they respect you as well.
Thank you very much.
One of the Hall of Fame and greats, Rich Kasperi, all the way from New Jersey, calling in Flex. He's a solid dude. I mean, and like he said, they're going to throw out the high and they're going to throw out the low,
right. Regardless.
And, the, you know, you get rid of a judge like that, you got to fly in another judge because there's only a certain amount of pro judges in various areas.
You know what? I don't think Richie is one of those guys that comes in and play where he's going to vote for his athlete just because it's athlete. I mean, you know, from the heart, he's been one of those guys who's been there, and even more so, like hearing him talk about how hard he worked out and how hard he tried to train. So I think he keeps that in mind. You know,
he got it right. The majority of the guys voted for Hide. I also had James Flex Lewis winning, even though I did like Jose Raymond. Let's get our next guest on before we take another break. Kevin Lefroni, the Maryland Muscleman and four-time Olympia first runner-up. Welcome to the Bridesmaid Show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks,
Kevin.
Flex. Thanks, Sean.
What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good, man. But unfortunately, you know, trying to get all this stuff in, we got to take another MD commercial break, and we got the great Kevin Lefroni, the Hall of Famer, the two-time Arnold Classic champion, on hold. We'll be right back to close the show out with Kevin Lefroni after this for break.
I let my tape rock till my tape pop, smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Muscle Mass introduces the biggest breakthrough ever in nitric oxide, E-Noxide. This newly discovered super molecule delivers fast, potent elevations of real nitric oxide directly into your bloodstream. E-Noxide is not a mere precursor like AAKG or arginine. It's real, pure nitric oxide, 2,000 times more potent than any nitric oxide precursor. E-Noxide, real science, real nitric oxide, real results. E-Noxide is so powerful that your arms will swell as this super molecule triggers the most insane muscle pumps you've ever experienced. Purchase your mind-blowing fiber-tearing Enoxide pump at GNC or at www.enoxide.com. That's www.enoxide.com.
Now there's the next generation mass gainer that's infused with 12 key NO shotgun ingredients that have been proven to ignite muscle growth by increasing muscle DNA by 149% and increase bench press 1,108% and leg press by 55%. VPX's stealth is the superior muscle mass builder that is perfect to lay down slabs of mind-blowing mass. In the old school days, the weight gainer with the most calories won the mass war, but made people look and feel like trash. VPX stealth has changed the rules of rapid muscular weight gain by adding the world's most powerful nutrient partitioning agents. Agents so powerful that they were proven to alter muscle gene proteins with just 1 ounce of NO shotgun per day. If just 1 ounce of NO shotgun a day increased lean muscle mass by 5.5 pounds, imagine what 10 ounces of stealth can do. For more information, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean and Flex. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler.
Flex Wheeler and Sean Ray here with MD Radio. And our last special guest here, the Maryland Muscle Machine, noted as the winningest bodybuilder at one time. Do you still hold that record, Kevin?
I don't think so.
Ronnie got it?
I think Ronnie Coleman beat me out on that.
Flight. Well, let me give clarification to this. Kevin was the reigning record holder until Ronnie started beating up on the Olympia title, which that's the reason why we have you here, as Sean called it, the bridesmaid.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, I thought this would be an interesting show because, you know, being second in the world, you would think that we'd be happy campers. I don't know that Labrada was content. I still don't believe Gaspari's content being a first runner-up. I know for me, only being there twice, you know, I feel like a two-time loser or failure in that department. It's easier as you get older, like Flex said, but it had to be very frustrating for you. Four different occasions, you were one person away from being Mr. Olympia, and there's only two guys. As a matter of fact, there's only one guy in the world during your career you never beat, which was Dorian Yates.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been so very successful, you know, with our careers, all of us. And it's just that thing that sticks in our mind, especially when we watch the shows nowadays and we see that, you know, they're passing the Olympia title. They're not letting the same guy continuously win. Mm-hmm. And sitting back watching these changes happen in the sport, which is great. But just, man, only if it had happened when we were up there. And, you know, like Labrada, you know, Sean, you, and I mean, there's so many guys, so many of us that did deserve to win at one time and another. And that is that sore spot that kind of sticks with you in the back of your mind because we don't have that Sandow to look at, you know, at night or you know, to share it, and, you know. But those memories, man, I remember being on stage in 2000, and I know that, Flex, you can go back to a year where you know, feel as though you should have won, and Sean, and I remember, it sticks vaguely in my mind that, you know, I really thought that the judges would have passed it off. And you know how it is, man. Your heart drops, and you'd be like, oh, man.
Well, you know what,
you know?
Kevin? You bring up something very interesting. Because I am contempt pretty much now, and I was completely contempt up until I witnessed a great thing, and that's Dexter winning it. And, you know, I was super happy for him because we're really close. But at that time, I realized that, wow, based on what this guy looked like, you know, we all could have won. I could have won. And I was in tears, and it was for dual reasons. One, because my best friend won, and then two, wow, he has something that I'll never have, and it's too late for that. But until Dexter didn't, you know, until that happened, I was completely, you know, contempt and never really realized that, you know, the Olympia title would be a free fall now where anybody could win it. So you're right. You're right when you say that, because that does bring that to mind.
It really does. And Flex, you know, we've all sat there in the press conference, and Sean, you fought so hard, you know, through your whole career for what, you know, for the best man to win. You know, I mean, sitting back now and knowing that, you know what, it's paid off, you know, your voice is being heard because there is a change, there is a difference. Mm-hmm. That structure has been implemented. You know, and my question goes out to you guys, what do you think, why didn't they just give it to, you know, who deserved to win back then?
It's interesting, Kevin, because I'm sure there's a 100 football players in the NFL that played in the 70s and the 80s that are watching these guys sign contracts for $50 million and, you know, $25 million of it guaranteed and $20 million signing bonuses, and these guys are one-hit wonders in the league and out of the league in a year.
Really?
There are guys, our time, I think, our era, when we were all doing it in the 90s, was probably the most deepest competitive when you throw in DeLette, you throw in Dorian and Ronnie and Cormier and Nasser. I mean, we had so much depth, and I think the structure at the time, we had the same people judging and the same people running the show, and that machine has kind of evolved and changed. I think people are no longer buying the fact that just being big is better. It's nice to know that a guy like Dexter can actually upset the apple cart, and now we're on the eve of possibly Phil Heath or even a Kai Greene or even a Victor Martinez. It's more exciting now, but I don't harbor any resentment. I think what we did back in the day paved the groundwork for what's happening now. I just want to clarify that Flex had to go. He's got to catch a flight. But I can respect and appreciate getting second now more so than when I did get second because I couldn't see what I was accomplishing at the time, Kevin. We were all a part of history. We didn't realize it.
You know, I think one time I heard, you know, or I think I might have asked Joe Weider this. This is, how come nobody can ever beat Mr. Olympia? And I think Joe might have said to me that if I allow my Mr. Olympia to get beat, then my contest will just be like every other show. and people keep coming back to see, and you know, to witness the Mr. Olympia being defeated. And that's what makes that, you know, the Mr. Olympia show special, and that's what makes Mr. Olympia special, because you know, he's that guy that cannot be dethroned. And when you think about it, Sean, on the business, and you know, pertaining to business, you know, it's something smart, or you know, a marketable way to go and say, hey, you know, if I have my mission, you know, that's what makes it that grand show, and that's what makes it special.
Yeah,
and it worked
now,
for a long, long time.
Yeah,
but I mean, I just wish that we had have had, you know, it passed to us when we deserved it. You know,
right, right. Well, you know what, Kevin, it's evolved. There's $200,000 that will be rewarded to the Mr. Olympia and the Sandow Trophy, something that you, four-time second, Flex three times, Safari three times, Labrada twice, myself twice, and the one person that's missing that is a two-time Mr. Olympia, Jay Cutler, he got second place for the fifth time one short year ago. He's still on there competing, trying to redeem himself, but this is going to bring us to a close, Kevin. Our Bridesmaid episode of MD Radio was brought to you by Safari Nutrition. We're on the eve of not the 44th, but the 45th annual Mr. Olympia Championship, September 25th and 26th in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I believe about one of five different guys can walk away with that Sandow Trophy. Kevin Flex and myself, along with Labrada and Gasparri, will all be in attendance, and collectively, 14 bridesmaids, second runner-ups, to our credit. For episode number 30, for Flex Wheeler, I'm Sean Ray. We'll catch you on episode 31. MD Radio out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean and Flex again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America.
How'd it happen? How they let me in the booth? How they let these rappers lie? How dare I tell the truth? I'm the truth and these other boys...
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.